97.5, The Fanatic.
Happy Saturday, everybody, in the Delaware Valley. It is a beautiful, cold Saturday in the Delaware Valley. I am Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic, with the big dog, Joe Stazak. We are live today from the beautiful, new, sleek, state-of-the-art sportsbook here at Parks Casino. Come on by, stop out and see us. We'll be here till Lightning Flyers hockey on 97.5, The Fanatic, at 3:50. Josh Rabick back at the studio producing the show, taking your calls at 610-632-0975. And before we get started and before we get into our topics, Joe, from me and everyone at 97.5, The Fanatic, man, condolences to you losing your mom. I know it's a tough week for you.
Thank you, Robbie.
I have that relationship with my mom, and I know how difficult that may be. So our hearts
go
out to you, your family, and everyone. And good to see you here today with me.
Yeah.
Appreciate you being out here.
Absolutely.
You know, get your mind off things and really be able to focus. And as you look around and you look up and you see, look at all these TVs, man.
A lot of stimulation here.
You can come in here and just spend a day, lose yourself in watching the games, getting
more
some food, right? You get that. Did you look at the lines yet? I didn't grab my sheet yet.
I haven't seen the sheet yet.
And even if you don't come out here and you can't get to the Parks Casino Sportsbook, but you want to wager, you want to put a few dollars down on
it's
a
crazy
game, whatever it is, you go on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You do it that way. You can do it from anywhere. You don't have to do it from here. But come on out, see us. So, Joe, here's what I'm feeling, because see, 2 weeks from today, it can't come soon enough for me. 2 weeks from today, the truck will be packed. The wife and kids will be in the SUV with me. We'll have more suitcases than anyone has any right to, and we will be making our annual trip down to spend March in Florida, Madeira Beach, hanging out. Well, they hang out while I work.
Right,
they're enjoying the bay. They're enjoying the beach while I'm over there. Thank you, guys. While we're over there, and I'll be at spring training covering the Phillies. And
how long are you going to be down there for?
The whole month.
You are? Okay.
I'll be there the whole month. And the end of the month, I'm going to go to the NFL owners' meetings clear across the Florida, all the way from the Gulf Coast to Palm Beach. So it's going to be a busy month of March, but you know what? I'll make sure I find a few minutes to spend on the beach.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
You think you'll find some time to squeeze it in?
I think I'll squeeze it in a little bit. And, you know, on a day like this when it's 30, man, I can't wait to get down there. But I cover the NFL and I cover baseball, but baseball was always my first love. So I'd still play the game. I love the sport. I love talking about it. And I look at this season with a little bit more excitement than a lot of people. And I know that there's a lot of negativity surrounding this team and a lot of pessimism surrounding this team and a lot of people who are in a show-me state of mind. And I get that. I completely understand that with this baseball team. You can't really believe in them until they show you. And
what
happened the last 2 years, they start out hot, they start out strong, they collapse at the end. Well, Gabe Kapler's gone. Everybody wanted him gone. He is gone. Well, maybe not Matt Klintak and Andy McPhail, but the fans spoke. John Middleton listened, and he's gone. Joe Girardi is here. And to me, in Joe Girardi, we all know this. He's a proven winner. And I don't think he takes this job thinking that he's not going to be able to get to the postseason, whether it's this year, next year, whenever it is. And I look at the addition of Joe Girardi, and I look at the addition of a pitching coach like Brian Price, a guy who's got a proven track record, and I go, there is there's a pedigree here. There's an impressive resume here, and I would hope that Brian Price can do some work with some of these guys in the rotation. Now, you added Zach Wheeler to give you a nice 1-2 punch with Aaron Nola. You brought in D.D. Gregorius to play shortstop, and I think he can give you offense at that position, not anywhere where not necessarily Jimmy Rollins' MVP season, but maybe he can give you 25 and 80 and really stabilize that area for you and just make the lineup a whole lot deeper. When you're talking about Adam Haseley or whoever's playing center field batting eighth and Segura and Kingery in a 6-7-8 spot, you're talking about a deep lineup. So I understand the pessimism and I understand the negativity surrounding this team. And I'll tell you this, and I spoke about it last night for a few hours. When Andy McPhail came out yesterday And for those who didn't listen, I'll repeat. When he came out yesterday in his opening monologue, Joe, and he says, well, had we made the postseason in 2019, we would have tied for the quickest turnaround administration rebuild. But we didn't. Well, Andy, you were 16 games out of first place and 8 games out of a wild card. You weren't even close to tying for the quickest rebuild, and I don't care about tying for the quickest rebuild. Get to the postseason. So I thought that was an asinine comment. It really had no place.
Did it surprise you that it came from him?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. And here's the thing. The whole conversation about luxury tax has been a big issue for Phillies fans. And I completely understand that. You want your team to go all in. When John Middleton comes out last year and talks about stupid money, you want your team to go all in. And my thought on that is this. They did go all out last year, right? They brought in Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto and Andrew McCutchen. They spent foolishly on David Robertson. But they tried to, they went and spent as much as they possibly could or thought they could to improve the team, and they didn't get nowhere near the postseason. This year, they made two nice additions, but they also overhauled the coaching staff, brought in a manager who's a proven winner. Now, they all want Chris Bryant, and I get that. And he would give you a proven bat in the middle of the lineup at a position of need where you have a prospect in Alec Boehm. So when Andy McPhail says yesterday, I expect to exceed the luxury tax this year, and then comes back and when he's pushed on it, says, well, the hope is that they're going to be contenders and they will exceed the luxury tax. He didn't mean it as far as we're going to exceed the luxury tax by giving JT an extension that's going to push us over, even though they're up against it. He meant in going out, bringing in a quality players, go over the luxury tax to make that final push, to get into the postseason, get over that hump. Now, there's a lot of people who will say, I don't believe them. And I guess rightfully so, because they have to do it. But, Joe, I'm telling you, I'm okay with that philosophy right now because I think this team has the talent to win. I'm not calling them the front runner in the NL East. I don't think they're the front runner in the NL East. But I think they have the talent to win, and I'm willing to wait to see what Girardi, Price, the new hitting coach, the new coaching staff can all do with the talent they have before I demand that they exceed the luxury tax. So I'm willing to wait till May, June, trade deadline, July. And I wonder what our callers feel about that, 610-632-0975. And I want to hear how you feel about that.
I'm with you. Let's take a step back and see what we have before we go out and start spending more stupid money, because I think stupid money, to be honest with you, can be stupid money. I mean, look, they went out and got Bryce Harper, loved it, you loved it, we all loved it. Did it really help them in terms of wins, losses, and, getting them closer to the postseason? Probably a little bit, but by in terms of relation to how much money they spent, how often, you see these splashes all the time, Albert Pujols to the Angels, A-Rod to the Rangers back in the day, and then to the Yankees. They've won one championship in 22 years. I think you have to really focus on your pitching staff if you're going to go for big-name stars, and there's nothing you could do about it at this point, but I look at the teams who win. Houston, the Dodgers,
yes.
Nationals just won one, Atlanta, it's homegrown. And this, what they're trying to do right now, the Phillies, and there's really no way around it because they just don't have the homegrown talent, but they're trying to put together a winning team like the Eagles did in 2017 with free agent signings and trades. It's really their only recourse, but can you really build a championship team that way? I don't know, but I just kind of don't like the pattern, don't like the plan, don't like the blueprint. But it is what it is at this point because they just don't have the guys coming up. Now, you mentioned Chris Bryant, and you mentioned that they have, who do they have? They have
Alec Boehm,
and they have Spencer
Howard.
The pitcher, Howard, thank you. Bryant's a nice player. He's not elite anymore, still very good. 32 years old. Are you willing to give up the only few prospects you have at this point for him to go all in now? Are you that close? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. Are they that close? Are they that close to making
for
that
Chris
run?
Bryant?
No, to make a run at the whole thing.
No.
So Chris Bryant, to me, would be a piece that
he's 28.
You.
By the way.
I thought he was 32.
No. He's 20.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. He's 28. So I think he's at peace because he's 2 years away from free agency. If you bring him in now, you still have him for 2 years. You can lock him up. I think he could be a core player for 5, 6, 7 years. He's going to cost you a ton.
Sure.
He is going to cost you a ton, right? And we don't know that Alec Bohm can't be Chris Bryant. My concern, it wouldn't be trading Bohm for Chris Bryant because you're flip-flopping. You're trading a guy you hope can be as good as him for him. I don't want to give up Spencer Howard at this point. You gave up Sixto Sanchez last year in a trade that brought you back the best catcher in baseball. Completely fine with that.
Good move.
But you have a dearth of talent in the minors. And to give up a quality arm, you can't continue. You can't fill out a rotation with $20 million pitchers.
I agree.
Have to have guys who come up. Aaron Nola, you signed for a team-friendly contract to keep around. So, therefore, he's going to be, in a couple of years, he's still really under control with a good deal for the team. Jake Arrieta finally comes off the books after this year. You got Wheeler, who you just gave 5 years, $118 million. You got to fill out this rotation with guys like Spencer Howard and other guys who come up. So that's why I would be reluctant to make that move right now if it included Howard. So I feel like there's a lot of anxious and impatient, and I get that. I understand that, but I'm actually willing to wait, and I'm okay with it. And honestly, Joe, I was surprised that you and I are both on the same page with this. And I'm wondering, how do the people out there feel after I just presented it to you this way? Like I could come on here and present it to you in a way where, like, I can't believe they didn't spend the money yet and all that, and maybe you're going to agree. But I'm telling you, I'm okay with it. Joe's okay with it. Why can't you wait and see what this team has before you make the... They got to make the trades to go over the luxury tax now. 610-632-0975. And to that end, again, I'm not putting this team in the NL East top tier with the defending World Series champion Washington Nationals. The Atlanta Braves, who are very good. The Mets are very good. This could be a fourth place team. It could also be a second place team. And I think we got to wait it out. We got to see. Andrew McCutchen coming back is going to help this lineup. Gregorius's addition is going to help this lineup. So I think the lineup is deep. It's got depth. They can score some runs. And I'm hopeful that Brian Price can unlock some potential. I think, Joe, Brian Price could end up being the key acquisition for this team. He could be the pitching coach, could be the most, he could be the MVP of this team, because if he can turn one or two of these starters, right, unlock their potential, whether it's Zach Eflin, Vince Velasquez, or Nick Pivetta, and maybe Pivetta or Velasquez goes to the pen and is a significant contributor there, that changes the whole makeup of the pitching staff. How you feel about that?
No, I agree with you. Here's the thing. When is the last time you've talked about a championship team and plucked out the name of the pitching coach and said he was really integral in that team making that run?
Leo Mazzoni, maybe, back with it. But he also had Hall of Famers.
Hall of Fame.
Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz.
Yeah, he was,
420 game winners.
He was
Denny Nagel, Steve Avery.
Yeah, Steve Avery, very good.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I still think you need the players. Can he help? Absolutely. I like the move. I like a lot of what they did. A lot of the upgrades, like Girardi, I told you the Whitey Herzog comment. Even Girardi said a manager can maybe alter wins, losses by maybe six or seven over the course of the year.
That's significant.
To me, that's
when you won 81, right?
Especially when Kaplan may have been a minus 10 last year. when you're 81 and 81, I think it's huge.
Seven games is 88. You're right there.
So these little upgrades, I don't think that was a little upgrade. I think that was a big upgrade. But moves like that, Brian Price, I agree with you. I think they're all going to come in to help. I still think the team needs more talent in certain places.
Yeah, I think the pitching staff is obvious. The needs are obvious. They need guys to step up. I want to see what the pitching coach can do. I want to see if he can get these guys to step up. So that's what we're starting off today with. The Phillies are underway. It's spring training. The GM spoke this week, Matt Klintak. The president, Andy McPhail, spoke yesterday. What are your thoughts on him saying, yes, they will at some point? His hope and expectation is they are going to exceed the luxury tax. So are you willing to wait? Are you anxious? Are you impatient about it? Or do you feel like Joe and I, okay, let's see what this team has. They may be better than you think. 610-632-0975. We got Flyers hockey coming up later on today, Joe. And I covered the game on Monday against Florida, the Panthers. They won that one. They go to New York.
Covered it for AP?
Yeah.
Nice. So, all over the place.
Yeah, sometime I got to mix in between football and baseball. I get a little bored, right? I don't want to sit at home all day.
Wait, is it your call?
When we need a backup, I'm the backup for Flyers. And the next night, Tuesday, I went to the Sixers. So I did that.
All over the place.
Yeah, I got one more Sixers game before I hit the road to spring training. So I'm going to do Sixers Hawks on the 24th. But then I go to Sixers on Tuesday, and that whole scene, that in the way they won that game, as well as they played. I know the Clippers were coming off at the tail end of their road trip, but I looked at that game like that was a impressive performance up and down. And I look at this team and I go, I'm hopeful in this second half. Well, really, it's a final third. There's only 27 games left. Mm-hmm. That they can make a push to get to at least the four, maybe the third seed. And what I said last night was you need your two stars, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, to be superstars. And I have seen Ben Simmons play like a superstar more often than I've seen Joel Embiid, I feel, play like a superstar this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel with the additions that they have, that there's potential there for this team to go deep into May and play into June, although at the same time, they could also get bounced in the first round, depending on if they stay at five or if they somehow drop to six and they don't have the home court advantage and they're so good at home, 25-2, but 9-19 on the road.
Yeah.
It could go either way. If the two stars play like superstars, if this new roster shuffling and the new lineup changes with Al Horford coming off the bench, although Dee Lynam and I were on for a couple hours together crossing over last night, and she said she thinks that Horford will be more of a matchup and Horford will probably start a game like Milwaukee, and I get that depending on the matchups. I think that there's legitimate reason to be more excited about this team now than perhaps 2 or 3 weeks ago, especially when they were mired in that four-game road losing streak.
It's awful.
And I don't know that they're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but I see a path for them.
Do you? See, I'm bearish on the Sixers.
Okay.
I'm a little bearish on the Sixers just for the reasons I've cited. Tremendously dominant at home. Can't win a lick on the road. The superstars, to me, why haven't they been playing like superstars? Why are we waiting for them to play like superstars? I think they're still a little young, a little immature at that spot. They don't have the adult in the room, in my opinion, what Jimmy Butler was, a guy who's going to grab you by the shirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have Josh Richardson calling for players-only meetings and he's been here for 9 minutes, it's a little, I don't know, there's something, the chemistry or something with the team. And I personally like the head coach, but I think that they could use maybe a change in direction at the head coaching spot, too.
And I think if they fall short of Eastern Conference Finals, that's going to happen. I think if they do anything short of that, and I don't even know if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, if that'll solidify his job. Because they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals and maybe get swept or lose in five games in the way they play. Maybe they decide to go. But that change isn't happening now. So at this point, what they have is what they have. I don't even know if there's anyone that they can bring in as who was bought out or as a free agent to upgrade the roster at any point. So I look at what they have now. Those are conversations we're going to have in May, June, July, even a conversation of Ben and Joel, because there's Dee and I were speaking about this last night and the way Horford can come in off the bench and take Joe's spot. Not that you want to move on from Joel, but there is this who he is? Like, have you reached a point with Joel, the immaturity, the as dominant as he can be when he wants to play, when, and that's the key word, that's the key question, when he wants to do it, then there's the other times where he's not getting in the low post, he's not doing it early, he's just lax, he's running behind, he's always there's issues about him being out of shape and not, is this who he is? Do you think he's 25? I mean, guys can change, they
guys
can grow
can
up
change.
They can
They can mature.
Yeah.
A lot of times you look at a guy's career and say, wow, he was really immature. Like Bryce Harper was kind of immature when he came up, and he was kind of a punk, and then he seemed like he really grew up in the last couple of years, especially when he came here to Philly.
Very mature now.
Very mature now. Just a completely different animal. I don't know about Joel Embiid. It's disappointing because sometimes you don't know what you're going to get. You
right.
mentioned he's somewhat out of shape, and that's something you can control, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You may not be able to control like a 30 and 20 night, but you can control how good of conditioning that you're in. They seem as a team to get disinterested at times and kind of lose that lack of competitiveness, I think, across the board. And I will say this. And it's disappointing to me when I saw Joel cry last year after the Toronto losses. I don't think his effort warranted the reaction. Like, if I saw a guy lay it out every second of every minute of every game and just come up, you know, a bounce short, I could see that. But to me, the effort didn't seem there. The willingness to do whatever it takes to win. They don't have enough guys, in my opinion, that hate to lose rather than enjoy winning. You know, I always would rather
yeah.
fill my locker room with guys that hate to lose rather than guys that like to win. Everyone likes to win, but really guys that detest, if they're allergic to losing, they won't accept it. It's unacceptable. Those are the kind of guys I want in my locker room. And the stars, I'm not so sure if the stars, the two stars that we just talked about, have that. I think they enjoy winning, and I think they can win. I just don't know if they hate to lose.
That's a legitimate question.
The Mamba mentality, I don't know if that's quite there.
I don't know how. You look around the pro sports, I think that's getting to be more rare.
Mm-hmm.
That mentality, the Mamba mentality, the Tom Brady, I'm at 43
right,
years old,
right,
but
right, right.
six Super Bowls, still wants to do whatever it takes
yep.
to win. You know, when I hear a guy like J.J. Redick say, who's still playing in the game, tell reporters, I think it was about a month ago, that more and more players care about their Instagram photo coming to the arena and what they're wearing than actually winning. This is a guy who's playing. This isn't you and I observing, because
right,
I feel
right,
that
right.
way
I feel that
observing.
Way Absolutely.
Now I got a guy who's in it saying that. Yeah, effort bothers me. See, I think with Ben, he always gives you that effort. I never question Ben Simmons'
no,
effort.
Ben,
I question the flaws in his game, but he's got the potential to be dominant, and we've seen that at times. We're seeing it more. I question Joe's effort like you do, and that, to me, is a concern.
That's a big-time concern.
That's
the face of your franchise.
But at this point, that's why I say I can see a scenario where they can be bounced down in the first round if they finish at 5 and Miami gets the home court, because they're dominant at home, too. Sixers are even better at home, but they can't win on the road. Or I could see a scenario where Joe decides, hey, I'm going to give all out effort, max effort, comes to play, and they can win and get on a roll and go deep. So I don't know. How do you feel about that? 610-632-0975. We got the Sixers on the table. We got the Phillies out there for you. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. We got open lines for you. 610-632-0975. We're live at Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
1229, 97.5, The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Joe Stazak live from beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook, where you can watch the games, place your bets, great food and great drinks. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. We got Chuck all the way out in Las Vegas. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Rob, Joe, Josh, how is everyone?
What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to talk a little Phillies today
with
the start of spring training. You know, I'm usually a glass half full kind of guy, you know, especially this time of year. But I'm just really tired of the guys in management. I mean, that quote that you read from Andy McPhail, I mean, my goodness, that's the most arrogant thing I've heard in a long time.
You know, which one? The one about the if we would have made the postseason last year, we would have tied for the quickest turnaround, or the one about the spending money?
Yeah, what you just said, Rob, about the quickest turnaround. Well, guess what, Andy? You didn't make the playoffs. You weren't really that close. And it was pretty much an abomination of the second half of the season. This Andy McPhail guy, just, you know, he's got like that Chip Kelly vibe that he's given me. You know, the smartest man in the room. No one's allowed to question him. And I don't like what Matt Klentak has done with this team. The bottom half of our pitching rotation just pretty much scares the hell out of me right now, guys.
I get that, Chuck. And one, your impressions of Andy McPhail, I think, are you're certainly not alone. I think a lot of my colleagues in print media for sure also have echoed some of those sentiments as far as the way he, like, for example, some of his responses last year. There was one when we don't get him too often. He's not available, but there was a right around near the trade deadline, and everybody talked about the "if we do, we do" comment.
Yeah,
as far.
Right,
but
sure.
There was another one where I forget which reporter it was asked him about the coaching staff and the manager, and he said, "I can't even dignify that question with a remark." And we were like, are we beneath a response? It was a legitimate question. The team's floundering. How do you not answer a question? Or to put it in those terms, we're very condescending. So that's one thing. However, when it comes to the talent on this team, I like the 1-2, Nola and Wheeler. Nola's got to be the Nola of 2 years ago, and Zach Wheeler's better pitch to his 5-year, $118 million contract. And if he does, you got a nice 1-2. I don't know if Jake Arrieta has anything left. Hopefully he's healthy enough to give you what a third starter can give you, even at $20 million. And then I look at this, Chuck, and I go, Zach Eflin was okay as a 5. If Brian Price can get the potential out of Nick Pivetta and or Vince Velasquez, you may be okay. And then we have potentially the addition of Spencer Howard coming. So I'm not as down on that starting rotation as you are and maybe others. You see where I'm coming from?
Well, I like to hear that from you, Rob. I know you're a baseball guy. And, I mean, look, I'm going to give this team a chance. I don't have as much confidence in guys like Pivetta and Velasquez and Eflin. But I definitely see the talent on this team, particularly in our everyday lineup. Here's another thing that concerns me, though. I think we need those guys to stay healthy.
Correct me
if I'm wrong, but I don't think we're going to have the strongest bench in the world yet again this year. So,
well, and I appreciate the call, Chuck, man. Thank you.
Thanks,
have a good one. I look at the bench, actually. You got Jay Bruce this year coming off the bench. If Roman Quinn's a healthy part of the team and what he can do, whether he starts, comes off the bench, I think, you know, Andrew Knapp at catcher, nobody likes as the backup catcher, but I think he's going to play more games this year than he did last year because Joe Girardi doesn't want to wear down his guys.
Right.
Neil Walker, one of those additions, Joe, with one of those non-roster guys. Josh Harrison, former All-Star, one of those non-roster guys. They have some guys there who could potentially help. We'll see. We'll see what that bench is. Now they added a guy to the 25-man roster. It's a 26-man roster. So there's the possibility of not having to use a guy like Andrew Knapp. How often did we see him pinch hitting, bottom of the ninth, game on the line, that's what they had left?
Yeah, it was it.
You don't want to see that. Let's get to he's what's he going by today? He's going by Larry, but he's really known as Hodge around here, and he's on the cell. He's on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Hodge?
Hey, listen, guys. I think maybe you might be a little bit too excited over the Phillies. When you look at this organization, everybody's excited that Girardi's coming in, and you know Girardi has the record of the championships with the Yankees. But what he also had with the Yankees was a farm system that fed him Hall of Fame type talent, Jeter, and got Rodriguez. Now, what do the Phillies got right now?
Torres, Sanchez. You can go on and on with the young talent that they have.
Yeah, they have some young talent. And where was that last year?
I'm talking about the Yankees.
Yankees, Judge.
No, I'm talking about the Phillies right now.
I was just giving you more ammunition for your Yankees.
Oh,
your
argument. I mean, even with Girardi left, the talent level went way up after that. It's not, and the Phillies have never been able to solve this farm system problem. And, you know, throwing money at Bryce Harper like that was a mistake. If you're a long-term owner, like everybody says our new guy is, the billionaire, why didn't he start from the ground up instead of just trying to throw players in on top of him? Well, it's basically a crap.
Well, he had to sign Bryce Harper for the fans because the fans demanded a superstar, and they weren't filling the seats. And when they added Bryce Harper, the Phillies had the biggest increase in fan attendance from the year prior. So even if you don't think he made as much of an impact on the team, he made an impact on attendance, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, I mean, so you get the attendance, you got money coming in, and you put a crap team out on the field. What do you think is going to happen to the attendance on the police track when they crap out?
Guys have to play up to their talent and capabilities. They were an 81-win team last year. I think they're in that 85 to 90 range right now. Depends on how guys, whether or not they stay healthy. That's a huge issue in this scenario. Because depending on last year, they're, for as bad as you want to say the season went, you lose Andrew McCutchen. You bring in Jay Bruce, you lose him. You lose mainly all of your bullpen except Hector Neris. That was a major reason why. I know nobody wants to make excuses for Gabe Kapler, but it was very difficult for this team to overcome those injuries. So a lot of winning in baseball and in any sport is lucking into health.
Healthy. How healthy are you? Yep.
Some teams overcome it. Even within 2017, Eagles lost a lot of key players and found ways to overcome it. I think that's a rarity in sports.
Packers in 2010. But yes, you're right. It's very rare.
It's a rarity to win a championship and have significant injuries like the Eagles did in 2017. The Phillies had numerous injuries last year that impacted the team. Now, that said, the guys didn't play well. They didn't play well enough. I'm looking up right now, Joe, and I see Nolan Arenado has a disconnect with management.
Yes, he does.
It says a disconnect with management. Now, for all of the Nick said before the show over here, our engineer, forget about Bryant. He wants Nolan Arenado. He's got incredible numbers, a terrific fielder, but he also plays at Coors Field. Does that scare you off of the pursuit of a guy like Nolan Arenado, who's also locked in with that contract?
Yeah, no, I know he is. Not necessarily. Because he plays at Coors Field? No. I'm still fine with him.
I want to look
at his numbers. Might be jacked a little bit.
We'll look at his splits during the break. Mm-hmm. See what his splits look like. And he's clearly a star player in this league. 610-632-0975. Joe Stazak and I are both okay with waiting on the luxury tax boom push, break the barrier, bust through what Andy McPhail said yesterday. It's not an impenetrable wall. They're willing to go over it. He said, my hope and expectation is that we will exceed the luxury tax at some point, which means the Phillies would be in contention and they feel that they can make a push to go over. Here's the thing that sometimes I feel. Joe, sometimes I feel like fans think management doesn't care enough to win. Now, I believe that could be the case with certain owners across sports.
Sure, of course.
Because owners are about the bottom line, and whether they win or lose, winning, making money is priority number one. But when it comes to an Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak and upper management, those guys know that they're on a year-to-year basis. They don't win, they lose their job. So I do feel they want to win, and they're doing what they think is best within the parameters that the owners allow them to. They just may not be doing a good enough job, clearly, to this point. They haven't. But I can't say that upper management doesn't have the desire to win. It's how are you going about it?
Oh, I think they totally want to win. It's execution.
Yes.
Is it the proper execution or not? And I'll ask you this question. the team obviously needs some enhancements, and if they were to ever win anything, you would see that there have been upgrades from when that happens to what they are now. Are they in a position to win this thing with the front office they have in place? Is that, it good enough?
That's a good question that I'm going to take a few minutes to ponder.
Sure.
That's a really good question. And Josh gave us the splits on Arenado, so I'll give you those two when we come back. We're taking your Phillies conversation, Sixers conversation. You got anything about the Flyers, who are sort of on a roll right now?
Yeah,
they've earned their way into a postseason spot. Now, that could change. There's a lot of games left. They could climb up. They can climb down. But there's reason to be excited about what they're doing. 610-632-0975. We got open lines for you to get in. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti, live from Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Joe Stazak. We are live from the beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook, where you can watch the games, place your bets, get some great food and drink. Make sure you also download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Stop by our broadcast area here at Parks today and check out our Dietz & Watson mobile broadcast booth. You can find out where the Dietz & Watson mobile broadcast center will broadcast from next at 97.5thefanatic.com. Serve your guests the best with a deli tray from a real Philly deli who use Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses. For a location near you, visit realphillydeli.com. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. We were talking about Nolan Arenado, and I was wondering about his splits, and Josh Rabick quickly found them for us. Last year, this is just last year now, he had a 351 average at home at Coors Field, 277 on the road. That is almost a 75-point difference. Wasn't terrible on the road, 277.
Oh, pretty good.
But 351 at home is incredible. 21 homers at home. 20 homers on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the same right there.
Yeah.
And CBP is kind of a hitter-friendly ballpark, so I think he would definitely do well in this lineup. Joe, you asked me before the break, do I feel that the Phillies have the upper management to win now? They have the manager. Joe Girardi's done
I agree.
He's been
that.
There. He's yep. won. They have the coaching staff, right? Do they have upper management to win now? Now, Andy McPhail's had some success. Minnesota. He built a...
Since then, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. He built a team, a good team in Baltimore. He wasn't there. They didn't win anything. It's been a while for him. Matt Klintak hasn't. I don't look at those two as a deterrent. I think they can win with that upper management, with those two guys in place. Because I feel like what they have in place now, the talent is there. Let's see how the guys play. Let's see what this coaching staff can do. Then it's up to those two to go out and add to the roster. Now, last year at the trade deadline, I didn't have a problem with them not going all in for a free agent to be, because I didn't think they were good enough to win.
I was fine with that, too.
They actually made a deal. Corey Dickerson was a nice pick up until he kept getting hurt, and Jason Vargas didn't cost you much, and he was better than what they had. Drew Smyly, I mean, none of these guys were like Madison Bumgarner or a Zach Greinke or anything like that. But hey, they didn't win with Zach Greinke in Houston either,
right?
So I was okay with that. This is a huge year for them. This is absolutely a huge year. I wouldn't call it a deterrent, and I think the combination of the manager and the coaching staff can overcome some of the flaws in upper management. They just have to get these guys to play to their potential and stay healthy.
I'm with you on that. I don't think it's a deterrent, and I think they have probably the ability. We won't know until it happens or it doesn't happen. I think they have the ability to take this team to the next level. I do. It's not going to. I don't think they're going to cost them anything in terms of, like you said, there's not a huge downside.
Yeah.
I'm just not so sure where the upside is necessarily until you do something. You haven't done it, so until they prove themselves, and we'll see.
My expectation isn't a World Series this year.
No.
But if they don't get to the postseason, those two may not be around to see this
through.
And then you might have a different regime.
What kind of leash are they on?
I think this year is it. I think this year, if they don't get in the high 80s and to the postseason, they're going to blow out the upper management.
So postseason's cut off.
It's got to
make the postseason.
Yeah, and it's an uphill battle because you got a tough division.
Tough division.
It's a very tough division. But what I feel with this division is you got teams that are going to be beating each other up. I don't think you have a 100-win team in this division, or maybe even 97 like last year. I think 92, 93 might win because you have four teams who are very competitive, who play each other 18 times and might go 10-8, 10-8, you know, against each other. So Marlins are the only one that gets beat up, except when they play the Phillies.
They
dominate. Joe in Mount Laurel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Yeah, but Gabe thought it was okay when they lost to them. They were playing hard. But I think their bench is going to be better. You know, if you remember, every time, like, he had an excuse. I think their bench is going to be better. You're not going to have a Nick Williams off the bench. You're going to have Walker, who kills at that field, right? Hopefully he makes it.
I like Walker. Yeah, I liked him last year at the trade deadline.
I love him. He could play third, first.
Switch hitter?
Switch hitter. That's a great pickup. I mean, and he really rakes it at that park. So I like him. You know, these guys, Roman Quinn, I mean, granted, you can only count on him for 200 at-bats maybe, but if he's there, that's another switch, although he might only bat right-handed this year, right? Is that correct, or left-handed? I think he's only going to go to one hand.
He started that last year, too, right? And then he went back and forth, and he changed his mind. Yeah. And I haven't seen. Yeah.
Either way, he adds depth. I mean, you don't need the Nick Williams, the guys like that. I mean, if you look at it, Kapler and Klintak, they ruined Ather. They ruined a bunch of guys.
They ruined the Dubel a little bit, too.
Oh, you're not kidding. Yeah, they really ruined the duel.
Joe? Nick Williams was pretty... Nick Williams wasn't bad before the new hitting coach got here.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that hitting coach killed him, if you stop and think about it. A duel was so confused with the launch angle. You might have talked Russian to him. He would have understood it better. So I do think they're going to be better. I really do. I think... Now, If Girardi can improve them 10%, that's an 89-win team, basically. Who knows? But if not, I actually thought I would have replaced Klintak last year. I thought he was a horrible GM. Except last year was his best year. You just brought it out. Dickerson was a good pickup. Even Smiley was an okay pickup for nothing. So that was his best year. Everything before that was a disaster.
And what he did in the offseason, right? He won the offseason last year. Nobody was complaining about what he did, except David Robertson didn't pan out because he wasn't healthy. But
The second time that happened to him. Morton happened to him before, and then he should have re-signed Morton. That blew up in his face, too. But I think it was a good move getting Harper. The fans were dead. You know, I renewed my season tickets. I renewed them again as soon as Girardi signed. So who knows? I'm optimistic for a change, and I'm the biggest pessimist around. So be good.
Well, I like it, man. I appreciate the call, Joe. Hey, look at that. We got an optimistic Phillies call.
Bit.
You and I are okay waiting it out. I know there's a lot of anxious fans. I know there's a lot of impatience, and I get that.
They're frustrated.
And rightfully so.
They haven't tanked the last 2 years after really building a pretty good sizable lead.
And they haven't. I teased my wife about this. I say the Phillies haven't had a winning record since you and I got married. Not that she even knows what a winning record is. She's like, well, what are you talking about? You know? I'm like, we got married in 2012. That year they finished 500. They've been a losing team ever since. She's like, how does that affect my life? I said, that means I'm home more in October rather than covering October baseball. So she's not rooting for any winning. But that's how long it's been. It's been since 2011, since they were a winning baseball team, and they have to be a winning baseball team this year. We put the Sixers out there too because we've always talking Sixers here on this station. This week, Joe, you haven't been on since the whole shushing incident, have you? Since Joel,
I don't think I have.
You haven't been here,
have
right?
I?
That happened last Sunday night.
Then I have not, because I did a shift Sunday day. Yes,
you did Sunday day.
I think so.
He shushed the fans Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on the shushing incident.
Absolutely.
How Tuesday unfolded. And what we both feel about the Sixers coming back from the All-Star break. 610-632-0975 is the number to join us for Sixers, Phillies. You want to talk Flyers, we got you. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. We're live at Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Joe Stazak live from beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Watch the games, place your bets, get some great food and drink. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. This weekend's programming is being delivered by Papa John's. New papadillas hand-folded in four flavors, just $6 each. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Well, Joe, there was thankfully, we're back. Josh Rabick and everyone back at the studio had a bail. They're good. Josh,
right?
You guys are all good, right? No fires, no sprinklers.
We're all good right now.
Wearing the fire-retarded jackets back there, Joshy?
No. Just a t-shirt, that's all.
All right. Well, we're good?
I think we're good. Let's roll. Let's see what happens.
All right,
let's do this thing. Meanwhile, I'm choking like crazy.
He's choking over here. You guys are burning off.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, we've been talking Phillies. We've been talking Sixers. Joe, this just happened. We have some breaking news on the Phillies, and it is not good breaking news.
Is it ever?
I just saw this tweet from Matt Breen, who does a fantastic job covering the Phillies for the Inquirer. And Matt says, the Phillies prospect, Spencer Howard, tweaked his right knee a week ago, Joe Girardi said. Joe also said the MRI was okay, but Howard has not thrown off a mound in camp. But Joe said he's been fine ever since. So you got a guy who is your number one pitching prospect who tweaked his right knee a week ago. Now, the MRI was okay, thankfully, so therefore there's not reason to be alarmed. But how Phillies is this? I mean, to me, when I hear news like that, I think this is absolutely like such a Philly scenario where you got this guy, you don't want to trade him, you don't want to put him into any deal to bring back even Chris Bryant. You're holding on because you need young pitching talent. You're hoping that maybe at some point, they keep saying that at some point this year, he's probably going to be here, whether it's May, June, we don't know. And now if he's tweaking his knee, he's not throwing off the mound. I don't know the severity of it. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but boy, this could turn out into delaying everything with him.
Big enough for them reporting it and making it a little bit of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's somewhat of a thing. I don't know how it'll manifest itself, but yeah, it's typical Philly.
Typical
Philadelphia. You got like one prospect. It's worth a damn. Suddenly so he tweaks his knee.
Oh,
not
man.
Throwing off a mound.
Well, hopefully it's nothing serious. When the MRI's fine, as long as they're not lying about the MRI, then okay, it's fine. He tweaked his knee. It's not an ACL. It's not a meniscus. It's not anything that's requiring surgery or going to keep him out a long period of time. But the fact that it hasn't now thrown off a mound for a week, I'm not going to be alarmed. It's February. By the time I get there in 2 weeks, if he's not on a mound, now I'm going to think of him probably starting the season in extended spring training, and his growth and development's going to be set back a little bit. So I don't look at this as a reason to be completely alarmed. But, Joe, does this make you think when we hold on to prospects and hold them so high, you know, I'm not going to trade a guy for a proven commodity because I need this, knowing that, one, they're unproven, two, they can get hurt at any time, does it make you more willing to include a guy like that in a deal for whether it's Chris Bryant, Nolan Arenado, or whoever else it may
be? Yeah, because, they're like you said, they're unproven. Prospects are what they are. You know, I think people get too caught up in wanting to keep prospects because of the potential they have down the road. When you're dealing in terms of making a deal, when you have a known quantity, a known entity, like say like a Chris Bryant, where you know he's already a superstar, what are you worried about your guy turning into a superstar when you're already acquiring a superstar? This guy's a known quantity. He's already made it. Where you have the prospect over here, who's who knows? Possibly, possibly not. So I think people get too caught up and worried about like hoarding all these prospects. When I mean, yeah, look back at the Cliff Lee trades and those moves.
None of them
panned out.
The only one was Carlos Carrasco.
Yeah, that's right. That's
the first Cliff Lee trade.
When they
traded him to get him from Cleveland in 2009, and he helped them get to the World. But you can't say that was. You know, it took Carlos a while to develop, and he had some health issues too last year, serious health issues. But but other than that, so you know, we don't know what Sixto Sanchez is going to turn out to be. But JT Realmuto is the best catcher in baseball, and should be for at least I would think a 3-4 year period.
To me, it's a no brainer.
To me,
no brainer.
You and I both were willing to wait at the start of the show. We put it out there to. The callers, are you willing to wait to see this team push past the luxury tax? 610-632-0975. I want to read some of the responses we got on Twitter. Guy Webster said, they will for the right guy. The tax is a bigger deal than many may think. So I agree. I think when it's the right guy, if they do it, I'll be happy with that. Scott tweeted at us, I get his explanation, meaning McPhail. They don't want to do it unless they feel they're legit and fully in it. Furthermore, less than 10 teams have ever paid the luxury tax since the new century, so they're not alone in that decision. It's not often, Judd, you get so much sensibility on the Twitterverse.
How about that, huh?
You got two sensible guys. Two guys right there. AJ says, we need one more guy to really contend, preferably a third baseman or pitcher. Okay, I can see that reasoning, and I do feel they need another. They might even need two guys. They may need a... I don't love Scott Kingery at third base, and you're going to see Kingery and Segura, and they're going to end up, one of them's going to be a third, one's going to be a second, barring a trade until Boehm comes up. Yeah, I agree that they probably need some pitching, too. This guy's one of my favorite guys on Twitter, always good stuff. Harry Hustle says, if the Phillies are going to wait to spend money, so will I. Can't blame him.
That's a good tweet.
You can't blame him. He says, last year I got played and I bought a bunch of tickets that end up being useless. If I want to gamble, I'll go to... Look at this. He's plugging us here. If I want to gamble, I go to Parks, not
that?
Citizens Bank Park. Wow. Philly's front office is all talk. How about that, Harry?
I think the fans feel they got duped last year in terms of bringing Bryce Harper in and not really amounting to what it was hoped to have amounted to.
I think everybody really looks at it like they bought in. Everybody was all in.
Sure.
You know, when Harper signed and the sales skyrocketed in that first 3, 4, 5 days, I think we overvalued or overestimated this team, and it was partly the media and the fans. The Phillies didn't come. They made all the moves and said, we hope to be contenders this year. They didn't say we're going to be in the postseason. They hoped to be. They thought they made the moves. But, yeah, I think everyone looks at it like we bought in and they failed us. So now I'm going to sit back and wait. And kind of like what Harry just said, if they're going to wait to spend the money, so will he. I can't blame the fans for thinking that. I absolutely cannot blame anyone out there for not wanting to spend your hard-earned money. That is your hard-earned money. And it is an expensive ticket to go down there and family of four and all that stuff, family of six, whatever it is, whether it's even two of you, right?
Sure.
You got to pay for it. And I'm spoiled. I haven't paid for a ticket in 20 years.
Neither have I.
I don't know what it's like. And therefore, I can never tell a fan you should spend your money on that. I will never say that because I don't do it. And therefore, I think it's irresponsible for me to ever say to a fan, hey, you ought to go. You ought to fill the stadium. No, that is your hard-earned money. Mm-hmm. You spend it how you see fit. And I might even go the other way because I'm so, like, sports is my career now. And it's not really as entertaining for me. It's a job.
It's different.
Like, I'm not watching
it's
a
different.
Game. I'm not
you
watching a ball
you
game.
Watch it differently.
You know, it's a job. And I might tell people, hey, there's better ways to spend your money, right? Invest your money, family, whatever it is. But when you look at it, I have absolutely 100% in agreement with a guy like Harry who says, hey, man, if they're going to wait, I'm going to wait because I get it. I absolutely get it. Now, I can look at it from my standpoint as a journalist, my standpoint as a talk show guy, and say I'm okay with them waiting because I feel this team might be good enough if we let it play out a little bit. But I totally understand you if you're a fan and you want to wait, right?
I agree. Every right to want to wait to see what the team does instead of going in first and then seeing what comes to fruition or not. Now, getting back to Bryce Harper real quick. We obviously valued him as we valued him, and I was all in. I think everyone, I don't know anyone who wasn't in on that trade. It wasn't our money, and we wanted a star, and they got a star. But he comes here, he's playing at a hitter-friendly ballpark, doesn't quite hit 40 home runs. It's a nice year, does a lot of good things, hits that grand slam. When they were winning the baby blues, I forget who was against Atlanta.
The Cubs swept the series with Charlie. I will say this, Joe. I was critical at the time. Not critical, but I looked at it like that's a lot of money for one guy. And I kept giving scenarios last year. You could spend your money three guys here. You can get like you can get Josh Donaldson. You can get maybe I love Daniel Murphy. I just thought, you know, you get a professional hitter like that, and then maybe you go out and you put some money in Dallas Keuchel. Now you get three guys, but I understood it. And I understood it had to be done for the team, for the fan base. And then what Bryce Harper did, and then getting to know him, getting to see him, the energy that he brings, I can't critique that move. But you're right, we overvalued the team entirely.
Let me ask you this. What does it do, or what did it do for his value that not only did he not take the team to the next level, per se, but his former team won the World Series?
Yeah, I know.
His former team won the whole thing.
Oh, and a lot of Bryce Harper critics out there made sure they let it be known how he left and Washington went on to win the World Series. So we got the Phillies on the table for you. There is a tweet about the Sixers because we were talking about Joel Embiid and we were talking about one reason to be really excited and one reason to be concerned about this team coming back. And Jason said something to me here. I want to read this before we get to the break. Will Embiid have the time in his career to mature and still be at an elite level? Because he's 25, not 15. And if he doesn't start now, it could be too late. I'm going to address that when we come back because I think that is a very valid question. 610-632-0975. We got open lines for you. Want to hear from you, whether it's Phillies, Sixers, or Flyers conversation. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti, and we're live at Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. The Fanatic.
And welcome back, 97.5, The Fanatic, Rob Motti, and Joe Stazak, live from beautiful new Parks Casino and Sportsbook, where you can watch the games, place your bets, great food and drink, which Joe is bringing in a nice, great food right now. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm looking out here at the TVs. They're a giant wall of televisions. What do they tell me it is? It's like 7,500 square foot space in here and 156 foot sweeping high definition video wall. You can watch, you can really get lost in the day here. You can spend a whole day eating, watching games, placing your wagers. I still haven't talked to Joe about the XFL and get his thoughts on the XFL because I didn't watch any of it. You can wager on it. I think this year, this week, I mean, is a at least you know, you saw the teams for a little bit. So you can wait. I want to get your thoughts in a little bit, Joe, on the XFL. Sure. Did you watch it, first of all?
A little bit.
Okay, so
bit.
You have a framer. I didn't...
A little
Not one snap. I didn't pay attention.
It doesn't fill the void, believe me. Oh. I was trying to see if it could possibly fill some of the void
nothing
left.
Nothing ever will. It's not the
nothing
NFL.
Nothing ever will.
It's not yet.
It just won't.
It's definitely... It's not the NFL. But we've been talking about the Sixers. Excitement. One reason for your excitement. One reason to be concerned. And I just had an interesting conversation. You and I have been, our biggest concern is Joel Embiid and what he's going to be on a daily basis because there's so many question marks.
Right.
He can be dominant when he wants to be, but I'm frustrated with even the thought of having to question someone's effort bothers me in professional sports.
Right, it's alarming.
It's very alarming. And a fan over there, a listener, she had a nice conversation with me about that and about Joel, and she had a union job before she retired, and she said, hey, if I showed up to work and I didn't give full max effort, I'd lose my job.
You're done.
He ain't making 100 and something max millions of dollars for that. And as far as the Phillies are concerned, you and I are willing to wait to see them go over the luxury tax.
Sure.
We're a little bit more optimistic about this team. Neither one of us thinks they're a playoff team now, right? But we're willing to wait and see. I think there's reason to feel some hope that Joe Girardi, Brian Price, a new coaching staff, the additions of Wheeler and Gregorius, some healthy guys coming back like Andrew McCutchen, don't call him Larry, right? You saw that.
And
it's going to help this team. So I'm not like, oh, you got to go do it now. At some point, Andy McPhail said they're going to exceed the luxury tax. He believes, he's hopeful. I'm willing to wait it out a little bit.
Right.
So Jim in Havertown, he wants to get in on both conversations, talk about the Sixers, talk about the Phillies. We're having all kinds of, we even have a little computer glitch here, but I got him. Jim in Havertown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
Gentlemen, how are you today?
How are you, bud?
Hi, Jim.
What's up, Joe? I haven't talked to you in a little bit.
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you, man.
I got the same concerns you guys got, man. Joel, of course, is a huge question mark. I think we should have kept them hungry and told them, you're not as good as the Greek Freak. You're as good post-up player as him, but you're not as good as a player as the Greek Freak. And I totally believe that, too. And I think
he's not. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't have that hunger. He doesn't have that hunger. Doesn't.
Guys, I'm sorry.
No, he's not. Doesn't have that fire. Doesn't have the fire like the Greek Freak has. Greek Freak has an intensity
that would fire him up, telling him he's not as good as him. You know, everybody says it all the time. He's the greatest big man in the league because Antetokounmpo, I guess, plays the four. Right? Is that what it is?
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. He must for him to say that because he's definitely. I'm not hammering him because he is the second best big man I see out there. But the Greek Freak is just that. He's a freak. I've never seen a guy that tall be that athletic. It's amazing.
So athletic. And so
hungry. He really is. Well, guys, I got a quick one for you at the end, but I want to touch on the Phillies first. So, before I go back to the Phillies.
Yeah, what do you got?
Look at the end, because these guys might debate this with me after I get off with you. The Phillies, I just have faith in Girardi so far. I really like the guy. I like all the interviews he's doing. He was a good player. He knows how to win. He won as a player and a manager. So I got optimism. We'll see how it goes. But I wanted to touch on this.
I'm with you.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I would love to. I think everybody's optimistic about him this year. And if they have two power hitters, could get it together. And who doesn't believe they'll both have better hit the seasons than they did last year? Because last year was both pretty average for both of them.
I think Bryce Harper is poised to have a monster year.
As far as Rhys Hoskins,
I don't know that Rhys Hoskins is as bad a average hitter as he was last year. 227, I think. He's got a new stance now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
He's got to improve on that. You got anything else, Jim? Because I got a question for you, man.
I just want to debate this if you can. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You got a question for me, sir?
I got a question for you. I need you to be honest with me.
Yeah,
I need you to be honest, all right?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Wait. did you call Mike Missanelli earlier this week and refer to Tyrone as Jerome?
Of course I did. You know why?
Why would you do that, man? That ain't right.
Because Tyrone dared to insult. That I won't say insult. He wouldn't go that far. I might have to come down to the what's the name and see if he wanted to insult me to my face. But he talks somewhat detrimental about me having lineage. So he's talking bad about my son and my grandson a little bit. So anything
I
say to him,
I don't know the backstory.
I'll call him whatever I want.
But Jim, you can't. I mean, you know his name is Tyrone. You call him Jerome. I mean, that's borderline. I mean, that might be flat out racist, man. You can't do that. That ain't right.
I'll call it to anybody. That's not even close to being racist, and I'm not a racist.
But you called a guy by the wrong name, man. I gotta let you go, Jim. Listen, it's just I heard that, Joe, the other day, and I wasn't sure if this was him. And I appreciate his honesty, but I didn't think it was right. And to Tyrone and Mike's credit, they didn't say anything. They didn't say anything about it.
They didn't address it?
They didn't address it because I don't know.
Is this something you heard?
I heard it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm not sure what it was. I got in the car and I'm like, that guy just called Tyrone Jerome. You know his name. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. It bothered me.
Okay.
We know Tyrone. He's a colleague, works his butt off. He's a great guy. And if they have, if he and Jim have issues or whatever, that's fine. You know, sometimes callers and hosts or whatever, we go back and forth. But I didn't think it was appropriate. And I just wanted to make sure Jim knew that I didn't like it. And, you know, we're all adults. We're all adults in the room, as Brett Brown would say. Right. And I think we should be beyond that. I think we should be past that. 610-632-0975 is the number. We got the Philly Spencer Howard tweaking his knee.
Right.
We just find out like a little bit ago he tweaked his knee. And it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. He hasn't thrown off the mound in a week, but MRI was okay. MRI was clean. A little something to be worried about. But as far as your Sixers are concerned, I'm excited about what they have right now and the hope what this team can do, but I got some legitimate real concern when it comes to Joel Embiid. So does Joe. 610-632-0975. We got that for you. Sixers, Flyers, Phillies, anything you want to talk about. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. We're live at Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.